I have
current geek.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome back. Not back. Well, it's kind of back. Welcome to Current Geek. I guess it's sort of back. Welcome to Current Geek, the weekly proceedings of the meetings of the Frog Pants All-Stars, Geeks of the World, and you, to keep you current on all things that matter most, video games, tech, and more. I'm Scott Johnson, and he's Tom Merritt.
This podcast got back.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Finally.
You like a
better.
Yeah, you like a show that can rise from the ashes, don't you? It's a fun thing.
Yeah, we were thinking of calling the show Phoenix, then we found out there's a town called Phoenix.
Oh, yeah, I just spent 7 days in that town.
Yeah, Spags are in that town.
They have a problem with men's rooms. I won't talk about that here, but there's a problem with men's rooms in Arizona. Yeah.
Well,
yeah. It's a big whoop,
kind
I know.
Of Seinfeld.
Joining us today, ladies and gentlemen, the internet sweetheart, robot arms herself, the Veronica Belmont. Almost said Veronica Belmont. Hi, Veronica.
Hi.
How are you?
It's not like I've known you for how many years?
I know. Look, it's a reboot.
I wanted to call you Veronica.
Are you rebooting my name?
I'm not rebooting your name. If I were to do that, I would say Schmerlonica Felmont. All right?
Schmerlonica.
Get it straight. It's always good to have you here. Thank you for being here.
Thanks.
Also, the man who knows a good English breakfast when he sees one, Mark the Terpster Turpin. Hello, Mark.
Well, thanks. That just makes me sound like a horribly obese person, but thank you. Thank you.
I was thinking
and a guy who eats a lot.
Yeah.
There a connoisseur of tea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The tea. Yeah.
What problem do you have against horribly obese people? What's wrong with that?
I don't like them.
Okay.
I don't like them, Scott.
All right.
But the brilliant thing is they are probably the best people to make fun of because equally, you know, what are they going to do? Mm. If they try and come and hit me, I'll just run away from them.
Mm.
I think that's got to be something that I can do better than they can.
You got to be careful with that, Terpster, because they're clever, you know, and many, many people are clever. And
like
you may
raptors.
Think you can run away when they've actually called their pet raptors to catch you.
Yeah.
And that's the thing.
Limb.
I like that we, our countries have this one thing in common. We both have an obesity epidemic.
Just one thing.
Yeah, that's it. What else do we have?
Well, it's definitely not the language. Let's be honest now.
It was the Queen's gift to America. I grant you the ability to eat without
end. It was the king, the Burger King.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what
our rightful leader.
Yeah, our rightful leader. I'll hail the Burger King.
I'm a monarchist. I like a Burger King.
Sure, why not? We're excited to have you both here. You're, of course, old friends personally and to all things Frog Pants, and it's always a good time to hang out with you guys for our inaugural reboot of Current Geek. Thank you everybody who's listening live, and thank you everybody at home who downloads this later. We hope you enjoy it and are willing to contribute down the road via emails and more. Let's get to our top stuff.
Herbert Hoover, Secretary of Commerce in 1922, finds infant radio facilitates news gathering, as do many others in high public office.
Tom, take it away.
What infant radio? Was that radio was run by babies back then?
I wish.
That's amazing.
How cool would that
and
be?
And next up, a nap. Yeah, that'd be brilliant. I'd love that.
How about a booby?
How about a booby? Can I name the show How About a Booby? I don't know. Maybe.
That is William Harding's favorite show on
radio. Great.
Top talk. This is stuff we're just going to talk about real quickly. Stuff that caught our eye over the past week. We have an email address, do we not, Scott Johnson?
We do. That address is currentgeek@gmail.com.
So if you find something that catches your eye during the week, by all means, send it along to us. I don't know if you noticed, but Netflix has a new cheaper price, $6.99. Now, here's the catch. You can only have one person watch the stream at a time.
I thought the other catch was that it was only SD as well. Is that?
Well, I think, let's see, is it only SD?
I thought that was one of the caveats in that, and that makes me want to know who this is for. If it's HD and it's still just one, then that's a good thing. I get that. That's a dude in an apartment. He wants to just have his channels. He wants his programs, like some kind of old person. And he doesn't want anyone else touching it. I think that sounds fine. But if it's standard def and you don't have any options beyond that, I think that seems like kind of a bad deal at $7.
Well, and it is like a traveling person with just like a small phone or something.
Hmm.
That works.
That's possible. Sure. Like a mobile user of Netflix.
It's too bad that they're only offering it to new users and not existing customers.
It's a test market right now. So you have to, and you're right about standard definition video, Scott. You have to be invited in or you have to be a new subscriber. So yeah, it must be for mobile. Although they're really starting to crack down on this. You only have the right to two screens at a time. And they introduced that family plan kind of stealthily a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's $9.99 a month.
Hmm. Yeah, I got away with it once. Wait, should I say how I got away with it running on three, like a week ago? Okay, here's how we did it.
Did it involve traveling through time?
No. I wish. Oh my gosh, do I wish. I've been wishing that for
a
long time.
That'd be a pretty good workaround.
But in this case, it was simply this. So I'm actually not entirely sure what happened here, but I had it running for me, and I was capturing a movie for FilmSack, and in the house, the kids were watching one, and then my daughter had sort of hijacked my account and was watching it in her apartment up to the university downtown on a very different ISP. And somehow all three on three separate ISPs, no problem. Now, I don't know if we fooled them because they were three ISPs or if it was just a fluke, because normally within the house, if we try to do this three ways, no dice.
No three ways in the house.
Yeah. No three ways about it, as one might say.
I had that rule, but I'll honestly, you know, ease up on it. Don't knock it till you try.
Really?
It.
No three ways in the house? You think it's we should let that be more permissible in the house?
I think so. Okay. Personally.
Great. Well, but Netflix wants to monetize it, Terpster.
Yeah.
So
they want money for your
threesome. You've got to pay Netflix if you want
to. That seems fair.
To be honest with you, yeah. I mean, it's only an extra couple of dollars, and I think the enjoyment that everyone receives is well worth it. So, yeah. Exactly.
So you're saying a three-way at $7 is a pretty good value, is what you're saying.
I'd say it's almost too good a value that
I would
double
do three
check
for three.
The small print.
Three-way is $9.99. That's another test market. The only ones that anybody can get right now are two screens for $7.99 or four streams for $11.99.
Oh, all right. So that's how that you think this is the new pricing model, though, moving forward?
Yeah, totally okay. Do.
All right. Fine.
So, is there a worry about crossing the streams at all?
Oh, like I was going to make that joke, and I didn't because I thought it was too bad.
Really? I thought this is
we're going to have to get a ruling on that from the Tadpool, I think.
I think so, too. But here's what I like. I like that you two you guys have the ability to make very euphemistic jokes very subtly without calling direct attention to them, but I can't help but laugh like a 12-year-old.
As you just demonstrated.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with me. Like something wrong with me. Anyway.
Well, I think it's probably you've been listening to too much infant radio. That's the problem. You've got that sort of infant mind going on. You need to grow up, Scott. That's what it is.
The infantilization of radio is affecting you.
That's right. I'll get on it. Tom, tell me about dog being spelled wrong.
Yeah, sorry. Doge. Let's move that out. Now, well, there right there is a controversy. Doge. Is it Doge? Is it Doge? There are different schools of thought, obviously, Veronica, in the Doge school. But the actual Shiba Inu itself that is part of the Doge meme, which you haven't seen it, just search D-O-G. You're going to find a million pictures of the dog with the Comic Sans and the colored thoughts, like such
it's a beauty.
Is it a she?
No. Shiba.
Shiba.
Oh, Shiva?
No, Shib.
S-H-I-B-A. Shiba Inu.
No. S-H-I-B-E. She-ra. You call it a Shib. It's a Shib.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're not talking about the breed.
Terpster's right.
The breed
She-ra.
Is a Shiba Inu.
Yes.
She-ra. The dog is a Doge. And that kind of dog is a Shib on the internet. It would call it the Shib.
I see.
Doge is a Shib.
Doge is one school of pronunciation. There are people who will take you to task. I'm not one of them.
Yeah.
So it's not the Princess of Power, She-Ra.
No.
It's a different...
It's She-Bra.
No.
Princess Adora. That was it, wasn't it?
Adam's sister. She-Ra. Hold on. Who was Jem? Jem wasn't related. There was no Jem in this.
Jem!
No. Truly anyway. Outrageous. Anyway. Continue.
Atsuko Sato is the name of the 51-year-old Japanese kindergarten teacher who started seeing pictures of her 8-year-old dog on the internet. That's part of these. That's the dog.
Yeah.
Abasu.
Oh, yeah. Do that again.
Abasu.
It felt very strange to see her face there. It was a kabasu that I did.
No, name wa. No, that's wrong. Damn
it. Come on, do it.
Wow. No, name. I'm saying my name is kabasu. That's wrong.
Is it? Wait.
Well, you're saying it as if you were kabasu.
That was really good.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
It wasn't really good. It was just bad.
Tom, let's
anyway, it's adorable.
It is adorable. Tom, let's move to this Futurama thing that I must print and put on my wall, probably illegally.
The entire cast of Futurama. When we say cast, we mean every character that was drawn in the animated series is now available on one enormous poster by artist Unrelius, if that's how you pronounce it. Just about every alien robot and Head Najar.
We're all fans here, right? We like the Futurama.
I love so Futurama. Much.
Yeah.
It's my once and Futurama.
I've stated this and I'll say it again. If you put a gun to my head and said you're going to a desert island, you can take no TV show. but one and all of its reruns and be able to watch it as much as you want. And that's all you're going to ever have. I have said for the record, it is Futurama, and I stand by that.
We started doing it. We did Futurama pilot on autopilot season 2, mm-hmm. and that just kicked me off watching the entire run of the series again, which took me right into the final season this past summer.
All right, well, let's step across the cultural divide, Terpster. How, I know The Simpsons is big everywhere, but is Futurama well received in your part of the world or not?
Yeah. You know, we pretty much get all the same TV that you do, Scott. Mm. It's all the same language.
Yeah.
So yeah. I would say that, yeah, we do get that, yeah.
All right, great. So, but, all right, let me ask you this.
Yeah, EastEnders, you know, we get that.
Well, we don't really watch a lot of British television. I mean, we watch some British television. We watch the Doctor Who's, and we watch the Sherlock's, and we watch the, what else do we watch? The IT Crowd.
Top of the Pops.
No, we don't.
Father.
Don't we?
Father
Tough Young Henry.
Father Ted.
Oh, that's it.
We watch the Top Gears.
Father Ted is like your Seinfeld over there, right? Kind of, or is that a bad comparison?
Well,
isn't Father Ted kind of like the Seinfeld of the UK?
If Jerry's like, what's the deal with drinking and swearing?
Right.
You know, and then just went on to drink and swear a lot.
What's the deal with mocking the Catholic Church constantly?
Well, what I mean is exactly. it feels iconic in that way. Like the way we look at Seinfeld and go, now that's a sitcom that was important.
I hate Seinfeld.
Do you really?
I hate Seinfeld.
Must be generational. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Weirdly, I hate Seinfeld, but I like the Larry Curb? David show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I like Curbed. Exactly. I don't like the Larry David. That's not a show. Is that a show? Was that a show?
I have a theory. I have a theory about Curb. Why you like Curb better? Yeah. I bet I know why. Because I think that you see. How do I say this? You see,
Ryan is going to be Larry David in. In 30 years, is that what you're saying? That's
no,
true.
I am not saying that. But I am that's saying that you like true. I think you just like a harder edge, and that show has definitely got a harder edge to
okay.
it. There's more truth to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Seinfeld's more fantasy land comedy, 3-camera deal. Definitely, I'd give
but
Kurt
Seinfeld's
a little bit of an edge.
But Seinfeld's got Julia... What's Dreyfus?
Louis Dreyfus.
Dreyfus.
Dreyfus? Good Lord.
I don't know what her name is.
Yeah.
She is like in some sort of like amazing... beauty time warp thing.
Yeah.
And she's just getting hotter as time progresses.
She's the female Benjamin Button.
Yeah.
She got out of the early 90s. That was important. That was an important step.
She barely made it out.
Leaving the early 90s is like really vital for getting hotter. Oh,
I want to write that one down. That's pretty good. She's great on Veep. Veep's great.
Unless you're Brooke Shields.
Yeah. Actually, she still look good. I don't know what she looked like.
All right. Well, enough about Mrs. Brown's Boys.
Oh, come on. Let's keep going. Just kidding. Go ahead.
Let's move on.
What a terrible, terrible thing.
Screenshots of computer code. This is a Tumblr blog at moviecode.tumblr.com. And don't forget, folks, Tumblr has no E in it. This is going into movies.
Thank you, old man Merritt.
For the elderly in the audience.
The internet
finally, I can see this Tumblr they're all talking about.
While you're thinking about it.
I try to be appealing to all audiences, Veronica.
I like it. Somebody somewhere is really confused about Flickr too, and you've really helped them out as well.
Yeah. So anyway, they try to take screenshots of code in movies, and then they put them up on the Tumblr and identify what kind of code it is. So in the film Antitrust, there's a screenshot of them pointing to compression code, and it turns out it's sample code from Java for a web server. Or one of my favorites here is the TV series Strike Back. They have the source code scrolling. You see that a lot of movies now, the source code scrolling below, and it's just the WordPress, like default JavaScript.
Nice.
Wow.
What worries me, though, is they haven't got the scene from Unthinkable where they defuse a nuclear bomb using Excel. And so there's just this guy hitting away, and it's just like, you know, ADDDSDFGD in like a cell.
Hold on, is this real?
And
someone did this.
Yeah. If you just like Google, like, I don't know, like diffusing nuclear bomb Excel, unthinkable. I don't know. And you'll see the shots from it, and it just wow, you know.
Oh, here it is. This is unbearable to me. I want to play part of this. All right, here these guys are. They're getting a nuke. They whipped out a computer. Oh, that's Excel, dude. Oh, that's incredible.
It's just like...
Wow.
Well, that's because that's not code.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's just phenomenal.
I don't know what
I
Unthinkable
still think it
is,
counts,
but... I guess.
I think it counts. I think it should have been code.
Yeah.
Any other film would have done code.
That's fantastic. You know, they didn't. Good Lord, that's great. All right.
That's actually the budget spreadsheet, I think. For the movie.
It works.
Apparently, we've run out of ADDSAF dollars. So I think it's Roman numerals. It's quite a lot.
Who hired this accountant?
Brilliant. All right, finally.
Octavius, you're fired.
I want to hear about what is the fate of Winamp and Shoutcast all these months later. What are we supposed to do
with
ourselves?
They're saved. They're going to become radio.
Yeah, weird.
Essentially, yeah.
Not weird.
Just well, Shoutcast always was
Shoutcast
radio.
Was radio.
Yeah,
that one
how do you guys feel about like them being saved? I mean,
Radionomy is the company that bought them. They have apps available in every app store, and they do streaming radio stations. So Shoutcast and Winamp are now no longer part of AOL. They're part of Radionomy. Who knew that they had enough money at Radionomy?
What they actually bought, though, is it the name? Is it, you know, why have they done this?
Well, I'm sure there's source code.
People that were working on Shoutcast and Winamp that I assume are becoming Radionomy.
Mm-hmm.
It says here in this article that without knowing Radionomy's plans, of course, there's always the chance that Winamp could still be killed off. But
right.
Considering that's that true. Radionomy bills itself as operating one of the biggest digital radio advertising networks in the world, that seems unlikely.
Yeah.
So yeah, and they could lay off all the employees too, and just have their own people staff it. But they took the. It sounds like, and I don't know all the details of the deal, but it sounds like they took the product and the intellectual property that goes with it, and probably any of the employees in the division.
Any cool patents that are like, you know, we can.
If I'm AOL, I'm not giving you the patents.
Yeah, or patents
or the patents.
I'm gonna say that. I mean, I remember very fondly my time in the early days of MP3 audio and things with Winamp and Shoutcast. And really, you know, without that stuff early on in, I would say, 98 through early aughts, I think a lot of us wouldn't have kind of glommed onto this whole MP3 thing. And then, you know, my first podcast wasn't RSS, but it was a MP3 thing that we used to shoutcast to a bunch of people. And we did some live stuff as well as some pre-recorded stuff. And it all sounded like garbage, but it was an important step, I think. And so a part of me is super, I mean, I'm never going to use it again, I don't think, unless they do something crazy with it. And I haven't for, you know, a very, very long time. But something about this stuff living on in perpetuity is exciting. So,
Well, I think it is just nostalgia, really. It's like Winamp was like, everyone's like, oh, you got to use Winamp. It only uses like a fraction of your memory. And then technology progressed to the point where it's like, I can use iTunes. That's a massive memory bloat without it being a problem. Mm-hmm. And equally like shoutcasting. I think, you know, a lot of us kind of started in shoutcasting because it almost existed before podcasting, it seemed.
Yeah, it was I remember using Shoutcast a lot right as podcasting was coming on the scene.
It was just exactly kind of coming on, and like, you know, I first started on a World of Warcraft, you know, Shoutcast station that played like nerdy gaming music, and then we did shows throughout the day live about WoW, and it was just, you know, it's weird, but I feel like the world has moved on from that, and that's why AOL has sold these things, because they don't really possess the same value they once did. I just don't get why these people have bought them. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's a fair question, but the deeper question is, why are these people in this business? Because I get if you're Radionomy and you're doing streaming audio stations, why you would want Winamp and Shoutcast. There's probably some technology and stuff in there that can help you out. And there even is still a user base that can boost your users. The question is that a business that is going to be a good business to be in, or is it a declining business? I have a feeling it's going to come back around to it.
Streaming radio?
Streaming audio, yeah.
Streaming audio.
And yeah. I think that there still isn't a very easy way for people to accessibly put their content, audio content online, where it's easily kind of crowd navigated and kind of ranked and aggregated, and people.
Well, SoundCloud is pretty popular for that kind
of
thing.
SoundCloud, I think, is getting there, and equally SoundCloud also is doing the next big hurdle, which is enabling people to monetize that content easy without having to themselves have to be a one-man band operation where they're a marketer and also a presenter and a producer and everything else. Exactly, you know. I just do the harmonica now. But it's that sort of thing where I think once someone really nails that with audio, I think that you could see a resurgence, and you could see, you know, potentially so like having a Winamp Shoutcast brand as well could hold some weight. But, you know,
I mean, we are simulcasting this live on a Shoutcast stream that Alpha Geek Radio runs, who used to be WoW Radio back in the day. So it's probably the same exact, even that same hardware for all we know, that was running that for you back in the day, Terpster.
Could have been. Yeah, it could have been.
So that technology has been great as this sort of ancillary, secondary thing that everybody can kind of have as another way to get content to people. If they can't watch live video or they don't want to do all that stuff, they could do it this way. But I'm with Tom that this stuff just feels ripe for a resurgence. You give people a tool that's multi-platform that they can easily, quickly just hit go, and suddenly they're streaming to whoever they send a link to. There's power in that. I think there's something to that. So we'll see. All right, Tom, good job on all that. I'm going to jump straight in to talk about our friends at HelloFresh.com. HelloFresh.com sponsoring our first episode of the reboot of Current Geek. Make cooking fun again. Every week, their chefs create delicious recipes. You pick what you like from this great list, and they send you the exact farm fresh ingredients straight to your door. Doesn't matter where you are. As long as you are in their current service area, they got you covered. They send you everything you need to create delicious, healthy meals in less than 30 minutes. I even did it, and it was amazing.
You did the ordering or the cooking?
I did the cooking.
Wow.
On one of them. Really? Just one of them. We had three, and Kim did the other two, and they were probably better because she did, but yeah. I was just fine with the one I did. And it was all good. I mean, even like salt and paprika and like these weird little ingredients, they come in these perfectly measured little containers. It was amazing.
Salt. So weird.
Yeah, it's weird. Visit them online at HelloFresh.com and see if they deliver to you. Use the code CURRENTGEEK50 for 50% off for first-time customers. Nice. Yeah, it's not bad. 50% off.
I can't get it. They didn't do it in the UK, sadly. But I love these sort of things. And it does make, you know, I've used similar sort of services. And it does make for some really kind of fun. It makes you, I feel like it's a little bit like cheating.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can pretend like I'm quite a good chef. It's like, oh yeah, I just got all these fresh produce and I've cooked them just, you know, fantastically well. And, you know, and the reality is that you've been given exactly the right number of things you need and been told step by step how to do it.
Yeah.
But as long as you can follow that, and you can, you can just impress everyone. Don't tell them, you know, about HelloFresh, you know, just impress them with how fresh you are. Hello.
That's right. You're engaged now, so you don't have to impress anybody. You're done with that.
Well, you say that, but you know,
maintenance.
Actually, I find we end up cooking together. It's quite a kind of a nice bonding thing.
Mm.
And so, like, we spent New Year's, you know, rather than going out and getting absolutely rat-assed, we slow cooked a shoulder of lamb. It was very beautiful. It was probably the nicest thing I've ever eaten.
Mm.
And I made that with my own hands. Well, kind of, I cooked it. You know, I didn't.
You went out into the pasture.
Rear the lamb, but it was amazing. It was absolutely paleo. And I think that there's a lot of fun to be said for cooking, and it actually, I think, really appeals to geeks.
That's right.
Because it's there's nothing quite as engaging, I think, as putting together a concoction and being an alchemist of food.
Yeah.
And I'm taking cooking classes this month.
Are you really?
Wow. Oh, wow.
What do you focus? That's a nerdy endeavor. What are you focusing on there?
All sorts of things. Every class is a different subject matter.
Wow, that's great.
Are there any dessert stuff? Is there dessert?
I don't
things?
Know, but I'm making. I think I'm making cookies tonight. Anyway, I've been cooking like every day.
That's
so
great.
Maybe I should try this because that way I don't have to go like figure out what I need for a recipe.
Yeah, they'll just send it to you. Yeah, that's really good.
And equally, you might make something other than cookies.
I've made cookies, pizza, empanadas, and that's
pretty
much.
I've been making panko crusted pork chops and quinoa. Kale and radicchio salad and stuff.
So you're farting a lot is what you're saying.
No, that is a myth. If you actually eat vegetables and chew them properly regularly, you don't do that.
Mm. Are you chewing properly?
Did you learn that from Foodist?
I did. Got to try not to bring it up for once in my life.
Veronica taught me one thing about crowded rooms. It's full of hot farts. Don't forget.
Hot farts.
Check them out. That's HelloFresh.com. Current Geek 50 for 50% off. It's time for the main event.
In case you missed a look at one of the best-dressed beauties of the early 20s, here's another look at her. Had enough?
Sure, I've had enough.
Sure.
Mac Pro given top score for repairability by iFixit. Now.
By whom?
By iFixit.
Who repairs this? No, but who repairs this? Who can repair this?
iFixit.
Anybody.
Anybody.
As long as you're iFixit.
Yeah, it's easy if you know how. It's all fine. No,
what iFixit does is said, look, okay, we're going to assume you want to be the kind of person who fixes something, whether you're a professional or a home hobbyist, and we're going to tell you how hard or easy it is. And Macs historically have horrible scores, and they get worse all the time because they glue things down. They make it hard to get into the case. And when everybody saw the trash can looking Mac Pro, they were like, well, that's going to be hard to upgrade. And even Apple was saying, well, the way you upgrade is Thunderbolt. You know, you can just daisy chain your Thunderbolt device, just add stuff as you go. But it turns out that round case comes off really easy, and then all the components are outward facing.
Yeah.
So you could just pop out the solid state drive, you could pop out the RAM and replace it in a snap.
Mm. I know, I was actually pretty impressed because when I saw this in the rundown, I was like, oh man, this is going to be brutal because it's going to be so hard to do. And I hadn't really been paying a lot of attention to the Mac Pro because I was like, it's too expensive, I'm never going to buy it, I'm not covering it for news anymore, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I started reading the teardown and they're like, good news, everyone. They actually say, good news, everyone.
Yeah,
they did. RAM and the Mac Pro late 2013 is easily accessible and replaceable. They show you how to just pop it out. You can, I think you can, it's configurable up to 64 gigabytes if you do 16 gigabyte sticks of RAM. Mm. So that's like, what?
Yeah, that's crazy. That's pretty good. Now,
but it's actually a step down because, like, we got an old style Mac Pro, the one before this,
yeah.
And got 96 gig of RAM in that. And equally, because it's like a big proper computer, you know, we've got like four internal drive bays, and it's beautiful. I don't like.
What do you
this
need all that
change.
Power for?
We needed it for, like, you know, video processing and streaming and rendering and stuff like that.
You have a real job too.
Like, yeah, exactly. It's weird. But what I hate about this though is that they say, like, daisy chain it. The thing is like, you know, when you've got like a PCI slot card, say you've got like a video capture card, you need to buy a housing to put the card in to then put in via Thunderbolt. And then you say you want some extra drives and you can't put any more in the actual internal Mac Pro itself, you basically end up with this lovely, beautiful, sleek, black, well-designed Mac Pro, and then just an absolute mess of cables and bits and boxes everywhere, and it's just hideous. It was nowhere near. Like, if you don't want to upgrade it, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It truly is. And if you don't want to expand it, really, beyond what is the shell.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm just old-fashioned. I think I'm just getting grumpy as I grow older. And I just don't like this change. I don't like the fact they've done this weird thing. And if you want to do anything bigger and better, the Mac Pro, that was what the point of the Mac Pro was. It was
but
for
you
doing
can't
like
expand
professional
this
stuff.
Without affecting the outer envelope.
That's well, the, like, that's the whole point
wanna,
of the iFixit thing.
In,
yeah.
But if you want to put in, like, you know, say I want to put in, I don't know, 6 terabyte hard disks and stuff
I know
like
what you're
that.
Saying.
And doing
I know
a raid.
Because in the old Mac Pro, there was space. There was empty
there was
space.
Okay.
Where you could rack in a bunch of hard drives and stuff.
Exactly.
You're right. You're right.
And PCI slot cards, like capture cards and, you know, fiber cards and all these things that professionals need with these sort of things. So really, they shouldn't call it the Mac Pro. They should call it the Mac sleek, expensive, prosumer thing. Because I don't think it's as good as it was, even though it's better in some ways.
Yeah.
I
kind of agree with you in the sense that it is not nearly as expandable as it used to be. It's nice to hear that it's more expandable than everyone assumed. That I think is a good thing. It's a good sign. And there are going to be plenty of people who buy this purely on the excitement of here's this new weird thing and it's awesome and what a sleek design and how amazing this engineering is. And they're going to buy it on that alone because they're part of a company that already has to upgrade a bunch of stuff. They need new hardware for their editors or whatever. But this reminded me of kind of early days for you, Veronica, when you were, I mean, early editing days, you were cutting your teeth on Mac Pros, right? I mean, that was kind of
yeah,
your,
she literally was teething
first,
on them.
I was actually physically teething on them. Yeah. Well, the first computer I really had was a G4 tower.
Mm.
And that was back when I was in college and I needed something for audio editing and video editing. And that was like a big deal at the time. That was like really cool that I could replace all the RAM, which I did, and like, you know, expand it and do cool stuff with it. And then, yeah, at CNET, when I was at CNET, we had, I believe we had G4 towers at first, and I think we went to Mac Pros eventually. Mm. So yeah, they were always really nice to have because you needed that kind of power for a lot of video rendering and processing and that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So, but I haven't had one in years now for myself. I had a MacBook Pro for a while, and now I just have MacBook Air. I'm actually going down in like power capabilities because I'm not doing as much video and audio. Well, I'm doing audio, but it doesn't take as much.
Now who's the
power.
Old person?
I just need a little word processing.
I just
email.
Need to write the emails.
That's right.
Well, that's look the at worst the thing it is. I stopped using my iPad because I found actually I preferred the MacBook Air because it had the keyboard. And I was just like, I really like being able to just send an email easily, typing away.
It does
away,
really replace it. I found myself doing the same thing. I have an iPad. I have an iPad mini that Ryan gave me when he upgraded his iPad. And I never use them. I'm like, I might as well just use my laptop. It's easier.
Mm. And exactly. Everything works. You know, I haven't got to worry if it's available on a mobile site or in a format.
You can have two windows open side by side.
Oh, it's what? Beautiful.
Space between them with
it
keyboard
is.
Shortcuts.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think, like I said, like for Apple, the reason you had a Mac Pro is because you were using Final Cut and you were using Pro Tools and you were using, you know, Logic and all these things that are Mac only. And the problem is the latest versions of those softwares haven't been as strong as something like Adobe are putting out with, you know, the Creative Cloud, you know, suite, which is affordable, scalable. Mm-hmm.
And Premiere's rad right now. It's really
exactly.
good.
It's incredible. And you can use it across Mac and PC. You can buy the same monthly subscription and you can use it on both platforms. And then you're looking at the hardware and you're thinking, I can buy a far cheaper, scalable PC. I was chatting to John from Doghouse Systems and he was saying that actually now they've started to sell a load of their kind of high-end previously gaming rigs, but now they're selling to, you know, architectural companies and, you know, video companies who are transitioning from Mac back to PC because the hardware's, you know, cheaper, faster, and, you know, they're using now Windows apps or, you know, at least are on both platforms. So I honestly struggle to know why someone would go for this short of I like Macs and I like to think I have a very fast computer.
Yeah. At some point OS 10 is still a part of that. Like they would prefer to use that as their OS, but you make a good point. I mean, I don't know if I was a company and somebody said, all right, we got to have 15 editors and they all need big, powerful machines. Am I going to run out and buy 5 Mac Pros? Probably not. I probably am getting them PCs and I'm probably getting them Creative Cloud and getting into the business.
Exactly. Get it all cheaper. Yeah. And that's the thing. I think that, you know, Mac has always been a premium product, but it's always been a premium product that's better. And I don't know. I don't think that this is. I don't think that the new Mac Pro is better. I think it looks better. I think it's done some very clever things with cooling. It's a very quiet, beautiful PC. To be honest with you, if they made it really affordable and quite kind of basic almost in its assortment, I might consider it for a desktop computer.
Yeah.
But I think to have it aimed at professionals, I think they've got an oxymoron in a box. But that's just me being, again, grumpy.
Okay, that's our show title, Oxymoron in a Box. I like that.
Oxymoron in a Box.
That's pretty good.
It does. It sounds like a weird kind of 80s pop song. I don't know.
All right. Well, I like
the Charlatans.
It's a good conversation. Yeah. We'd love your feedback out there. CurrentGeek@gmail.com. Let us know what you think of the new Mac Pro and the future of what it used to be and what it is today.
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
Guest topics.
That's us, Scott. We're powerful, spanning the globe with these guest topics.
Yep.
Because we have Terpster, and he's over there.
Yep.
Across the ocean.
I'm over here.
Have you been keeping up with this Steam indie game sales internet conversation, Terpster?
No.
So essentially what's going on is a bunch of people are pointing to the Steam, if I could oversimplify, a bunch of people are pointing to Steam sales and saying, see, games are too overpriced. Everybody buys tons of games when they put them on sale. You just need to lower the prices. And some indie game makers are saying, great, yeah, except when they make these sales, we don't make very much money. If you want us to keep developing games, you have to pay the prices. You know, that's an ongoing conversation in the world, but it seems to have picked up because of all these Steam sales over the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, it's weird actually. So one of the things I do, one of my kind of things is I work with, we've got 3 games in development, and I guess they're all indie games. And, you know, they all have budgets and people and lives behind them that you kind of hope that when they do finally get released, that they're going to make enough money to pay and support those people and hopefully enough to encourage them and support them to make more good things. I don't know though. We just come off the back of this Humble Bundle charity drive that we did over December, and we did it different to how Humble normally do it. So we asked people for $25 donations or more to get, in the end it was about $300 worth of games. So we still felt it was really good value. And we ended up getting, I think, around about 45,000 donations or bundles purchased across that December period. And in the same time, well, actually only, I think it was 2 weeks, Humble ran their own normal Humble bundle, where it was just pay whatever you want, and you will get, again, I think it was around about probably about $200 worth of games. They ended up selling, I think it was something like 450,000 units versus our 4,500 units. They made $3.4 million. We made $1.1 million. Mm. So by letting people pay whatever they wanted, they actually ended up making more money, even though, you know, they used up more virtual keys and units. But there's not really much cost involved in that, though surprisingly.
It's not a real it's not a real inventory thing in that case, right? I mean,
it's weird. It depends, because often it's Steam keys. Mm. There is some cost associated with it, but ultimately no, you know, the problem we had is because we were doing it for charity and we were going out and asking developers to give us something that still did have value to them. Mm-hmm. You know, we went and asked people for 20,000, 40,000 keys. So we made the decision, okay, we've kind of got to put a tier price in on this so that we make sure we don't run out on day one and we've only raised, you know, $20,000.
Right.
So it's weird that, you know, saying that people buy more games when it's cheaper. Yes, of course. Do people play more games when they're cheaper? No. I mean, my Steam library has never been bigger than it is, and I play fewer of those games than I ever have.
Yeah.
You know, it's because no thought goes into those purchases. It's almost like, oh, it's only a couple of bucks, I'll just buy it.
Yeah.
But again, in terms of making money on a game, I think if you have a good game, you will always make money, and that sales are what they're for.
Right.
But that's kind of what this article is not saying. They're saying that even if you have a good game, if it's not being promoted on Steam, like if it is on Steam, for example, but it's just not getting any promotion, yeah, exactly.
Promotion
then it's
is
not
what does it.
Yeah. It just kind of sits there.
Yeah.
So interestingly enough, we as part of it, we worked with Sega and Sumo Digital, and we made a character in Sonic All-Star Racing Transformed. And over a weekend, Steam, when you loaded it up, you saw this picture. It was a free weekend for the game. And also it said about our special charity DLC, you know, buy it and support charity. We were also pushing from a YouTube side. And we were told by Sega that it actually outperformed Metal Sonic DLC that they'd released earlier in the year.
Okay.
But actually, we only had something like, I think, 5% referral traffic direct from YouTube. And I mean, we shift a huge number of views and eyes and people across to that. But being front-paged on Steam is massive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Having literally, you know, 4 million people, you know, at a time seeing your product.
Well, that's, I mean, that's kind of the point here. The Pixel Junk series is renowned. They've been on PlayStation forever. And now they've got a bunch of Steam stuff. And Pixel Junk Eden, which was originally a PlayStation platform game that came to Steam and wasn't just put on there, versus Renegades Kids, this is the name of the developers, Mutant Muds game, which is beyond 3DS and a few other platforms. That thing shows up and is newer and is kind of in the same vein. It's very retro. It's very cool. It kind of appeals to the same people. But because Pixel Junk Eden, I think, partially had their name, but also because they got front page kind of shown on that big rotating mm-hmm. thing, and Mutant Muds did not. All you ever saw was under the little, you know, recent releases thing.
But what I would always say is, and I say this to people a lot, is it's better to have, you know, 10% of something than 100% of nothing. And so it's actually better to go and play with Steam and say, yeah, you know, sell our game for next to nothing, but give us that promotion as part of that. You know, let us be part of this huge, massive event that people are really excited about, like the Steam winter sale.
Right.
You know, I think that, you know, people who are scared to sell their product at a lower price for fear of missing out on potential purchases and value is an extremely short-sighted view. You know, you're not, you know, no one's gonna, you're not gonna see massive deficits from selling your game cheaper if it's as part of a promotion, because the whole point is that you make up for the lack of profit by increasing the number of units sold.
But that, I guess what some people are finding is that isn't proving to be true, in their particular case, right?
I think that's exactly it in their case. And I think that equally, you know, I would always say to them, you know, send me an email. We'll work out some sort of promotion we can do as well. You know, I think it's something where you have to make sure that you are kind of covering all your bases, and it's a timed, concise, you know, you want everyone to be talking about your product for a weekend, and that's all you need, is for everyone to buy it on a weekend. And even if they, you know, play it or forget it or whatever, you've still made all the money you were ever going to make on that product. And equally, you've made it all in a weekend. So you haven't got to wait a year for that same total.
Yeah.
I think that, again, it is a case of indies are, it's easier than ever to make a game. There's so many tools out there that are accessible. Tech's more affordable. Digital distribution's never been easier. Like I said, Humble's fantastic. Humble takes 5% of your revenue. Steam takes 30% of your revenue. Mm, the reason geez. Steam can still do that is because, like Apple and iTunes, it's the place to be.
Right.
So, you know, you that's what you pass up, and you say, okay, well, I'm willing to give away more because I know I'm going to get more by being on that platform.
Mm.
And it's what users want. They want to have a Steam key. They want it in their Steam library. So I think, you know, as with all of it, it's partly the realities of life and equally just, you know, people, you know, with, I guess, expectations that don't match up, to what it is.
Nice. Veronica, it's 2014. As you may be aware, you might be familiar with the new year.
Yeah. Yes. Why? What did I do?
Because we're shifting to your topic, which
about
is
time, Veronica. Like, you realized what year it
what
is.
What did I do wrong?
Tom tells me that 50 years ago, Isaac Asimov predicted what this year would look like, and that you guys have actually discussed this before.
Yeah, we covered it over on Sword and Laser.
What is? Let's highlight it. I'd like to know what he got right at all, and what he got horribly wrong.
Well, I think what's interesting here is, as we mentioned, there are things that he sort of forecasted, like location finding, GPS, microwave dinners, kind of dead on where robots would be. Sort of, there's humanoid robots, but the really effective ones aren't humanoid, and we're kind of not sure if we want to let them into our lives yet.
Yeah, he's like, they will neither be common nor very good in 2014, but they will be in existence.
But they will, and that's exactly where we are. However, there's also a ton of things that he got wrong, and everybody's skipping that in most of the stories where they go, Isaac Asimov foresaw 2014 exactly right when he predicted things at the 1964 World's Fair. I mean, he got a few things right, guaranteed, but he was also throwing spaghetti against the wall.
Yeah.
I love this. He says, like, General Electric at the 2014 World's Fair will be showcasing 3D movies of its robot of the future, neat and streamlined. Its cleaning appliances built in and performing all tasks briskly. There will be a 3-hour wait line to see the film, for some things never change. He's so cute.
Yeah. So no 3-hour lines for any 3D movies. Also no World's Fair.
Yeah.
But the 3D movies part, people glom onto that and go, see, 3D movies.
Right.
I told
and
you.
A cleaning so robot buzzwords. Because we have iRobot. Hey, he totally predicted iRobot.
I guess so. It's interesting because I like futurists, and I like when people talk about what they think the future is going to be, and I like when they're right about it. It's fun. It's like,
it is fun to look at the stuff he was
like,
right about.
This reads like every Kickstarter pitch I've ever seen. That's what I see here is like, you know, it literally, also, I mean, at the end, they're going to ask me for $30 and they might make something that it relates to it.
That's great.
I mean, some of this is kind of like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, communications will become sight sound, and you will see as well as hear the person you telephone. The screen can be used not only to see people you call, but also for studying documents and photographs and reading passages from books.
The phone company will resist this, and you'll actually have to use third-party software that's kind of buggy. Oh, wait, he didn't write that.
What would be good, though, is if this was Nostradamus and not someone like 50 years ago.
Right.
Because I understand that things moved on, but a lot of the concepts he's already talking about were in their infancy, and this is like further developments. I want to be impressed by someone who's like, you know, saying, you know, he's just got a candle, and he's like, you know, but we'll have this magical force known as electricity. And here, call it something different, and I'll let him call it something different. Mm-hmm. He hasn't got to get the vernacular right.
Yeah.
But I want him to, you know, I want him to say, you know, then, you know, resistors and transistors and magic's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then we make a few sacrifices, and then we have something called television.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be amazing.
I had a friend who was obsessed with biblical passages that he thought predicted the future and described like jet airplanes and all that kind of
stuff. There's Wormwood, isn't there?
Is that Revelations?
Is in Revelations.
Yeah, I think most of it was in Revelations, I think.
Wow.
Which was where they had Chernobyl. Yeah. Was Wormwood, and they're like a star falls and it kills man, and they're like Chernobyl. Oh no! And then obviously
the star didn't fall into Chernobyl.
No.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, but you know, you can just blame it on translation over the years. You know.
But this is the problem with these predictions, Asimov's or anyone else's, is you know, Veronica could say tomorrow Scott will trip on a rubber duck and land headlong into horse poo, and if it doesn't happen, she can very quickly construct a reason why, and if it does happen. Because just somehow everything aligned, so it did happen with just a few variations. Well, then she's 100% right. Either way,
then
I'm screwed.
I am a genius.
Yeah, then you're a genius.
It's a little
amazing,
bit like,
magical genius.
Right.
In the Matrix, the Oracle says, "Don't worry about the vase or the vase."
Yeah.
And then he knocks it over, and then she's like, "What's really going to bust your noodle is, would you have done that had I not said it?" So maybe, like, you know, it's a little bit like Star Trek. Everyone says about Star Trek predicting all these cool things, but equally, the people inventing these things grew up watching Star Trek. And they always, you know, we're aspiring to create what we've dreamt of. So I think that, you know, this is kind of cool when we've got people out there who are, you know, dreaming up stuff and just we'll let the future worry about how they do it. But wouldn't it be cool if we could do this?
Well, you've both proven you're smart. You've both proven you're intelligent. Let's put it to the real test.
America scores and wins.
All right, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a part of the show we're going to call the Pop Quiz. And this is a chance for us to school our guests on stuff they should know about. Now, don't ask me why for Terpster I picked Back to the Future trivia, but I did.
Hang on a second, Scott. Are you telling me you picked Back to the Future trivia?
Wow.
That was the worst Marty McFly.
That was almost an American accent.
It's horrible.
I love British people doing American accents. It is my favorite
it's
thing.
It's almost as good as American people trying to do British accents.
Almost. Not quite, but
it is
almost. All right. So here's the rules. You guys are going to be asked a series of questions. Veronica, we'll get to yours in a minute. We'll start with Terpster. It's 10 questions. You have to answer them as fast as you can.
Okay,
no major pauses. I will count down 3 seconds when you do that.
1985.
If you get it,
in the news.
If you get it right.
3 seconds.
Or, whoops, sorry. If you get it wrong. If you get it right.
Can that be the right sound?
No, that is the. I don't want to get those confused. In fact, I should switch them. There we go. All right. So if you get it right, if you get it wrong, and that's just the way it's going to go. And then Tom's going to keep score, and we'll see
and,
how you do.
And you will be awarded points.
Right sound, sounds like, you know,
my
like
palms are sweating already.
I love how competitive you get.
Palms
I'm getting
sweaty.
Stress sweats.
That's
She's
good.
Ready.
Mom's spaghetti.
All right. So here we go. Question number one. This goes to you, Terpster. Here we go. What fast food chain do we see when Marty leaves Doc's place in the beginning of the film?
No idea.
Oh, sorry. Incorrect.
No! What?
I moved the buttons.
I'm going to give him negative 5 points for not even trying.
Fantastic. Number two. By the way, correct answer was Burger King. Number two. When Jennifer meets Marty outside the high school, she says, if you get caught, it will be blank tardies in a row. What is the correct amount?
I don't know, five?
Incorrect, it's four. Three, what is Marty's band's name?
Hewlett's in the News.
Incorrect, the Pinheads. Four, at what time does lightning strike the clock tower?
At precisely 12:40. I don't know.
Incorrect.
I'm going to give him a point for trying.
Okay, point for trying, but 10:04 is the correct answer. Right. Number five, in 1955, when Marty enters the coffee shop, what song is playing on the jukebox?
Dream Boats.
Let me check. Okay. Nope, Ballad of Davy Crockett. Nice try.
I'm going to give it a point for actually being better than the real answer.
Okay. Number six, what type of stories does George McFly write?
Science fiction novels.
Yeah, that is correct. Nice job. How many miles per hour did the car need to reach before time travel? What?
88.
That is correct.
2 points for being like really quick.
Yeah, that was amazing. When Marty's character goes back in time, he meets his uncle, who he knows will later be in jail most of his life. What is the uncle's name?
Harry?
Joey. Incorrect.
Joey.
What nuclear fuel does Dr. Emmett
Brown...
Plutonium. Very nice.
Quick. 2 points.
Nice job. Number 10. Final question. How many gigawatts must enter the car to make time...
1.21 gigawatts! Maybe in
correct.
The future, nice. When plutonium's available at every corner store. Oh, my... Yeah, anyway...
All right, five points for dramatic interpretation.
Not bad, not bad. All right, hold on to those scores because Veronica's turn, and then we'll add it up,
well.
See how it goes. Veronica, these are...
I'm like a million anyway, so it doesn't matter.
These are Sims questions. I know you to be a longtime Sims fan.
Yes, all right. So just the Sims all the Sims or just the Sims?
I'm going to say just the Sims.
These okay. were Flanisha. That's yeah. what he's trying to yeah. say.
I know you Sims played Sims. The Sims 1 a lot, so these are Sims 1 heavy, I'll tell you that much.
Okay.
All right, so here you go.
It's been a while.
It begins right now. Number one, what company produces the Sims?
EA.
Ooh, should we allow it?
Maxis?
Okay, we'll take that one. You win. Because we'll EA publishes Maxis makes it.
You're right, you're right.
And she's
okay.
technically more correct.
Yeah, you're that. Actually more correct. What was the first expansion pack for The Sims 1?
Carnival? No.
Is that correct? Is that your answer? Close. Close. Live and Large is the correct answer.
Half point.
Three. If, that's what Laura Ingalls was called by her dad, isn't it? Half point. Here you go. Three. It's possible to have a perfect sim with all the personality traits filled to capacity. True or false?
True.
Correct. When two Sims marry, whose last name do they take?
The man's? I don't know.
Nope. It's the name of the sim in whose residence the proposal occurs.
Negative one okay. point. Should have known that.
All right.
What celebrity may appear in your Sims after if you're having a rocking party?
What celebrity?
Actual celebrity appears in the game.
D. Snyder.
Incorrect. That would be rad. It was Drew Carey. Drew Carey shows up.
Really?
Yeah. Weird, right?
I'm gonna give her a point for like that. No one should know that.
I like you. I give her a point for saying.
Doesn't he do the Price is Right?
Yeah, he does now. Now yeah. he does.
When did he come to your what? Party?
He when that game was out though, he was doing his Drew Carey show. It was a little more mainstream back then. Seven. Who shows up if your Sims are having a dull party?
Drew Carey. Sorry.
Point for Terpster.
I don't know.
A mime, a French mime.
Oh,
number eight, we're almost there. What will your sim do?
Wait, okay, that's not fair. A mime is not a celebrity.
You're right.
She's right. I'm going to give her 2 points for that.
Okay, fair enough. Eight, what will your sim do if she is napping on the couch and the telephone is in the telephone in the room rings?
They cry and they bang their fists and go.
You are correct. Temper tantrum is correct. Nice job.
And a little bit of a temper tantrum for Veronica gives her an extra point.
I love the scoring. It's so chaotic. All right, number nine, true or false? It's possible for your Sims to get demoted in their jobs.
True.
Very nice. And then finally, number 10, which skill is the most difficult for Sims to work on?
Gardening.
Let me check. Judges? No, it's body. It's body.
But gardening's hard, so I'm going to give her a half point.
Give her a half point. Ladies and gentlemen, we have our first score. That music ended right in the right place, didn't it? Nicely done. You've both done well, and I have no idea who won. So you want to add it up, Tom? Who's our winner?
Someone sent me a message, Scott. Sorry, just to interrupt you, saying HelloFresh does deliver to the UK.
Oh,
they don't deliver to San Francisco though.
They do. I know parts of Germany, bunch of the US,
East Coast US so far.
Massive.
Yeah, they're growing, so watch for it.
I'm not sure how fresh it'd be by the time it gets to me.
Isaac Asimov said by 2014 they would deliver everywhere.
Oh, okay. Well. Once again, dipping into that pond. All right, so how'd we do? What's the score?
So, you know, you heard the scoring as it was going and tallying it all up. The independent firm of Ben Elton, George Martin, and Lem certify the results as Terpster with 8 points, Veronica with 8 points.
Oh,
we have a tie.
No way.
Tiebreaker question.
Okay.
Oh.
All right, you ready? Here's your tiebreaker.
I was happy with the tie.
What,
Scott Johnson.
What kind? What? Let's see. What you would have heard this at Nerdtacular, and Veronica said this once on a show. When my name came up, what will Veronica make me?
Paint your face in my blood?
Nope.
Oh.
Terpster?
Make you? I don't know.
A sandwich?
Cry?
I'll rephrase it. What am I? I am Veronica's what, according to her comment on that?
Internet brother?
Nope.
How can it be something that Veronica said? How can that be a tiebreaker?
I played it in Nerdtacular here.
I should say, like, Scott Johnson is my bitch.
There it is right there.
Oh!
All right. So we won't count that one.
That's the worst tiebreaker. Veronica, what did you
What is the thing you said? I got it wrong. I didn't answer it correctly.
All right. Finish this sentence. All right. Here you go. Hold on.
Full stop.
Finish this sentence. I'm going to start it.
Sausages.
Very good. Veronica wins.
Yay! I was going to say
sausage.
There you go. That's how it ends.
Play it again.
I didn't think about what we'd have to do for tiebreaker.
I don't remember when I said this.
Sausage. It was a sword and laser episode. Yeah. You don't remember
a lot
of
things. Well, fantastic.
You remember really Terpster's age somehow.
Can we have another tiebreaker question that involves Veronica in some way? It doesn't seem biased at all.
I just don't have any.
Tiebreakers are not certified by the independent consulting firm.
Yeah.
Ben Elton Martin.
Well, consider the fact the only sound clips I have Terpster doing things like, and that's it. That's all I've got.
But you don't have, it doesn't have to be a sound clip question, does it?
No, it doesn't. Exactly.
It's terrible. You'd think that maybe in the future there'll be some form of technology that will make better tiebreaker questions.
It does really. He's upset.
Really, really hurt.
He's pretty hurt.
I'm very upset. Yeah. I'm devastated.
You know what I have to say about that? All right, that's what I have to say. Here you go. It's forecast time.
What sort of future do you think we're heading for? How will we live as we slip into the 21st century?
The future promises even more startling things to come.
Does it now? We used to do a show called Forecast. People miss it. We decided to roll that into a segment. Did we not, Tom?
We did. Did we?
We just did.
I think we started one.
Yeah, we did. So here it is. It's Forecast. It's the Forecast segment. And this is where we get to predict stuff. Instead of asking everybody to bring a bunch of predictions to the table, you can all breathe a sigh of relief because you didn't get asked that because we're not doing it that way. Instead, we bring a prediction of our own and we pass it around real quick for opinions. Here is this week's prediction.
It's crap.
Amazon.com will stop using UPS and FedEx altogether in the next 5 to 10 years and cause a real tweak to the shipping world, pretty much fundamentally change it. True or false, fake or real, Veronica?
Wait, what?
So it's that we're not in quiz mode anymore, Veronica. She's still like, yes, wait, no.
Oh, we're not? Sorry.
This is just Scott's prediction. Do you think that Amazon will start being their own shipper?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Actually, this is something that I've been talking about a lot recently, and that how fascinating I think it is that Amazon's primary bottleneck in the industry right now is having to rely on shipping companies like UPS and FedEx to deliver especially their Prime shipments in like a timely manner. Mm. And this hasn't really been an issue in the past until kind of this holiday season, when suddenly we started seeing a big like stopgap in deliveries, and people were trying to figure out, is it Amazon's fault? Is it UPS's fault? Is it FedEx's fault? Whose fault is it?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it is the delivery service's fault, I guess.
Sure.
And I was trying to figure out, like, would it be in their benefit? And I'm sure this is something they've talked about internally for a really long time. Like, should they create their own delivery system, something independent of UPS and FedEx, or should they continue to rely on that as like their backbone of deliveries? Of course, they're looking way into the future with drone deliveries and things like that. But for the time being, is there something they can do on the ground and in the air that's not drone related to ensure
that? But what's the point, though?
What's the point of what?
Because like Google is going to have like self-driving cars soon. Don't we already have those? Like, why do you need?
No, we don't really.
We don't really have
those.
Them. No. Yeah.
But can't Amazon just like, you know, do Amazon, you know, RoboCar? I'd have everything delivered by Amazon RoboCar if that was an option.
Who's to say that Scott's prediction doesn't include that? He's saying that they'll become their own shipper, but that doesn't mean there'll be people in the cars.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be a huge amount of money. Money is not something they lack, really. But building an infrastructure like that is like a huge undertaking. These companies have been around for decades and decades. Mm-hmm. And so kind of, you know, I don't think they're actually going to do it because the problem hasn't been that bad. I think if for some reason the problem got a lot worse, you know, maybe when they start using these companies to do more stuff like delivered weekly groceries, which they've been working on, and more like consumer household goods stuff, then maybe they're going to start taxing UPS and FedEx too much in terms of just sheer number of packages they need to deliver.
Yeah.
So then maybe it could be something that they would start focusing on. But until it kind of gets to that threshold, that line, I think they'll probably just suck it up.
My Korean brother, I always refer to him that way, is a driver for UPS and has been for years. And he was driving right up until about 1 a.m. Christmas Eve. I guess it would be Christmas Day at that point.
Oh, really?
And he says it's never been
that
bad.
Your brother's Santa?
He is Santa, basically. Weird, short Santa. He says it's never been that bad. And I asked him what he thinks it is. And he says the steady increase, I won't do his accent because it would make everyone feel a little uncomfortable, but he says that it's the steady increase of online orders, mostly from Amazon, that is not going to slow down. There's nobody's predicting that that's going to get less. At some point, maybe it slows just because I don't know, we're out of people who don't have the internet or something.
We've run out of cardboard,
I guess. But when he said that, I just thought, well, that just seems to lend credence to this. And that's just one carrier. We're not even talking about Fed and whatever they do. So to me, it makes sense. And Terpster, isn't Amazon already offering some service in the UK where they do this locally from some warehouses?
You can pick stuff up from them, I think. So like you can have, they've got like storage boxes and stuff like that, which I assume you have as well.
Yeah, we do.
So you can go along to like a convenience store and there'll be a locker you can open and your delivery's in there.
Mm.
And I think, to be honest, that's what they're looking at is like,
well, the Sunday delivery,
this themselves.
Mm. The Sunday delivery in the UK is done by Amazon's own trucks.
Oh, interesting. Right to homes.
I've never had that. Honestly.
Mm. Yeah. Is that just a London
thing maybe? Yeah, exactly. That's probably, they normally have their own little kind of, they might as well be a separate country. But I think what you'll find is that that's exactly how they should do it if they want to do it, is not to not use UPS and FedEx, but to supplement it with their own service as well. And at peak times, you know, they can employ more drivers and more temporary staff to cover the holidays so that their service doesn't drop. The thing is that if FedEx had more drivers, we wouldn't have an issue. But FedEx, for whatever reason, doesn't see the value to them as a business, the damage to their business in terms of packages being delivered on time. And even then, like, is it an insurmountable task of the sheer volume? I pretty much did all of my shopping last year online. I didn't actually get around to doing it this year in time properly. So I did most of mine on Christmas Eve just in shops. Yeah. But I think that's a bit of a rarity these days. Mm-hmm. I think more and more people are buying on Amazon. And, you know, I found it like I ended up giving my parents, you know, because you can share your Prime account and stuff with members of your family and things like that. I think you're meant to be in the same household.
It's all right. Nobody's listening. It's fine.
Exactly. So I shared that around. And now they're using Amazon more than they ever have before.
Yeah.
And I think Prime is the best invention. You know, it's better than the Kindle, hands down, mm-hmm. you know, because it's just a case of like, I literally buy... If it's on Amazon and it's on Prime, that's literally where my shopping stops. I don't try and find a cheaper price because I just want it. I want it as soon as I can get it.
Yeah.
And it just seems always the quickest and easiest way to do it. So well, I think Amazon focusing around ways to make Prime better and, you know, Prime Air, as far-fetched as it sounds and with all the holes it has, is great. And I honestly think, like, you know, automated cars and stuff like that, and, you know, it doesn't then matter. You can just send a fleet of trucks out, you know, whatever time, 24 hours, always kind of going around delivering them, and, you know, and having like a little drone that then drops it the last mile on your doorstep or whatever. You know, there's just so many options available to them.
Yeah. Amazon has everything too. And with Prime, you stop thinking, well, that's silly to have it shipped. I'll have to wait a week. Or, you know, 4 to 6 weeks or whatever. And you start to think about it. I start to think about it the way I think about movies, where you're like, well, should I just watch it at home? Because sometimes it's a pain to go to the movie and try to park. Mm. And people in the movie theater aren't always great. You start thinking about the drugstore that way. You're like, they don't always have everything. Sometimes they're out and sometimes it's shoddy and it's hard to park. And so, you know, I'll just buy my soap and razors and vitamins from Amazon. Yep. And they'll get here in 2 days.
Yeah.
I know. I feel guilty doing that stuff, but I use Google Shopping Express, which is not available in every area. But you can order stuff from like Target or Safeway or a bunch of other stores, even REI, and they'll get it delivered to you that day within a couple of hours. So it's like, well, either I'm going to drive and go get it, or they're going to take one big trip and bring everything back for all the people who ordered in the city. And maybe that's actually saving some fuel. I'm not sure.
Probably. But undeniably, all of these theories, mine all the way around the horn, back to you, I think are they're signs that brick and mortar probably has to worry a little bit about some stuff. We've said this forever.
There's always something that's nice to go and try.
Of course, always.
And it's like, you know, like I've got I bought a headset that I'm using right now, and I'm not absolutely in love with the mic quality on it. And, you know, I bought it online because, you know, it's the only way I could find it because it's an obscure thing. If I could have gone to a shop and tried it out and tested it and stuff like that, that would have been amazing.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you then start having to go through like returns, and, you know, that's the problem, is when there's something wrong with the product that you bought online, that's where it becomes harder because you have to then take it to a place and it isn't as effortless as it once was. But yeah, I still think, you know, the internet, obviously, is a fantastic way to shop.
Writing on the wall, man. Writing on the freaking wall. All right, let's jump to some feedback, some emails. You guys can send emails to us. They can be attachments as well. We're happy to play your files. We don't have any this week, but we hope to in the future. That email address is currentgeek@gmail.com. And a couple of quick emails here. Got one from Grendel91. Says, hey guys, love finding out you were bringing the show back. Got a pretty important question for you here.
Mm.
What was your favorite single thing that happened in all of 2013 out of tech, games, movies, whatever, nerdy stuff? So what was it? Thanks. And thanks for bringing back my favorite show ever. Oh, thanks, Grendel91. Aww. So let's just go around the horn. We'll make it quick. Start with Tom. Tom, what's your favorite thing of 2013?
I think the favorite thing that happened in 2013 for me was the amazing backing of the Sword and Laser Kickstarter.
Oh, you stole my thing. Oh.
I knew I was going to be stealing your thing, but you can say anthology.
Okay.
Nice. Terpster, what's yours?
I've honestly got no idea.
You're so busy. I doubt it's all one big amalgam for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you get married this year?
You got engaged.
No, I got engaged last year, but that's not really nerdy or geeky. Well, maybe it is. I don't know. I'm actually getting married now. I've changed it. I'm getting married in less than a month.
Whoa.
Wow. So,
yeah. It's going to be a year.
So it was, but then I thought, why wait?
Yeah. You
know? That's what I did. 2 months.
It's a lot. Yeah.
I was married.
You know, I feel if you like it, you ought to put a ring on it.
Well, that's how it was kind of sold to me, really. Mm-hmm. And I listened to the music and thought, she's got a point.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, you know, if that's a really kind of soppy thing to say, but obviously that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I honestly don't know. In terms of tech, I'm trying to think what was just groundbreaking over the past year. Can't think of it.
It's a weird year for that.
And then like games, like I don't know, there were loads of great games. There's too many to count, really.
Yeah.
Just amazing games. I love you know, Kerbal Space Program, Don't Starve. What else came out last year?
So many.
Hearthstone is incredible.
Your life, I think, is what is your favorite thing about last year.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. It's great.
Your life is amazing. Veronica, if it's not the Kickstarter, what is it?
Probably I would say the anthology, getting all the stories put together for the Sword and Laser anthology that will hopefully be out within the next month and a half.
So cool. So, that thing. I'm excited for you guys on that. That's awesome.
Yeah. We're super stoked.
For me, it was Nerdtacular 2013. I really, really had fun.
It was a good time.
And, you guys were all there and that was great and that made it even better, but I don't know what it was. Everything just seemed to come together nicely. And despite,
when is it happening this year?
Same weekend, the date is, July 4th weekend. So, same.
July 4th. Oh, amazing.
Yeah,
cool.
We're going to do the same weekend. There's a lot of details to come, but that's the plan for the timing. But it was just awesome. We had a lot of really great people we'd never had before. And despite a weird 120-year between landslide and that plane crashing in San Francisco and all that weirdness.
All right.
It was fantastic outside of those weird freak
I blame Ruinem for that. That's a whole separate
story. Yeah, Ruinem's a whole different conversation. All right, another quick email. Hi, Scott and Tom and guests. I was reminded this year that I am a terrible person to buy gifts for, and on Christmas, I already buy all the gadgets and games and stuff that I want throughout the year. So when it comes to my loved ones to think of something to get me, they have no options outside of what I've already gotten. Any advice for a guy like me? Thanks. Keep it going. Germ. Like GURP with a J says, but I don't know why I wrote GURP. Anyway, Germ. Yeah, I'm the same person. I'm terrible to buy for because I get if I see an iPad or something I want, I just get it the day it comes out. I don't wait till Christmas. Is anyone else like that?
Amazon wish list.
I'm the same, really. Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, that's what I did. I asked for Amazon vouchers this year because I'm like, I'm just going to find stuff I want to buy anyway. So that's, I mean, it sounds boring, but it's easy for someone as a gift giver to get, you just have to apologize for being quite dull. The thing is, it's like, I ended up getting a couple of cool t-shirts and stuff like that, which is always nice. But yeah, I'm literally the worst person in the world to buy a gift for, because if I've really wanted it, I've probably already got it.
Pretzel M&Ms for you.
That was always a good thing. You know, get me what I can't get would be phenomenal.
Gift
as well.
That keeps on giving for him. If you guys ever want to know what he needs, he can't get them in the UK. Send a bag of those over there. It works for us. Veronica, thoughts? You'd like this too, though, aren't you?
What?
You already know. You already get, if there's something you want in July, you're going to have it if it makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I like little surprises.
Hmm.
I also just get me a J. Crew gift card. Really, all
I like handmade stuff, and it's a cheat because my kids do that, and I can therefore enjoy that every Christmas. But those were my favorite things. It's something they'd make.
I get you saying on Etsy though, so it's handmade.
Yeah, it's the same deal. Sorry, Tom. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, I Amazon wish list. is what I do for people. Like, what do you want? I'm just like, point at it.
Or experiences. Buy experiences. Like, well, take someone out to like a fun dinner.
That's good. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I find things on Amazon where like, well, I shouldn't buy that for myself, but I kind of want it. And I poke it in the wish list. And that way, when people buy me stuff, it's a surprise. Yeah. I'm like, just poke me in the wish list.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah.
But do it anyway. Final email from, it's actually a tweet from Mick Montgomery, who says, has the singularity already occurred? And are we too obsessed with Candy Crush to notice? Candy Crush is so 2013, man. Nobody cares.
I don't like that.
My wife is obsessed.
Is she still?
Yeah. I introduced it to her at Thanksgiving because I was not obsessed with it. And everybody was talking about it. She's like, well, let me see what it's all about. I'm like, yeah, it just doesn't grab me. And then she started playing it on my phone constantly and then got it for Android. And that was the end.
Then you took
it alone. That's all she does. Yeah. She sits on the couch when she's watching TV and plays Candy Crush.
Brilliant. That sounds like a blast. Ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of the show. Thank you so much to our guests for being here. Terpster, we'll start with you because ladies first.
Oh,
I don't know if that's more offensive too. So what are you doing? Anything you want to pimp, let people know about? The big charity went and came, so there's not that anymore, but anything else cool going on you want to tell people about?
I don't know, really. No, not really. Mm. No, lots of stuff, but I never know what I can talk about. Hopefully, we're going to bring back Hypothetical Help sometime this year.
I'd love
that. Really, that's my goal for 2014.
Yeah,
is still the best podcast after obviously this one.
2014 is the year of the comeback, man. I say do it.
Yep.
Well, exactly. So that's what I would like to do.
Okay.
So that's hopefully something that'd be fun. Okay, otherwise, normally on a Friday, you should tune in, listen to Scott, myself, and Deals. Chat about World of Warcraft.
Mm-hmm.
So
do it on one where Scott isn't on a freaking liquid diet and having all kinds of weird crap happen.
And exactly. I think it would have detracted from the World of Warcraft discussion. So I'm glad we skipped it this week.
Yeah.
But like I said, normally we do that sort of stuff as well. So yeah, all of those things, you can find out about them all on my Twitter. Actually, you can. I never tweet about anything.
No.
But otherwise, yeah, cool.
He's _T on Twitter, everybody. Veronica, what are you doing? What are you up to? What's going on?
Oh, things. I'm booking right now for the Sword and Laser season 2 video show, and it is a nightmare. Mm. But it's happening. It's going to happen on the 16th, no matter what. So I better
booking
find
it. Booking is always a nightmare.
Yeah. It's worst.
I was thinking for an invention, I was going to make Kindle bookmarks. Do you reckon they'd catch on?
Kindle bookmarks?
Yeah, just like, you know, out of leather or like, you know, fabric. Or something.
No,
like that.
I don't think they would catch on.
I think
because everyone loves a bookmark.
You
and
really
you used to get like
put everything you've got into this idea.
Stick it all in.
Whole hog, just throw everything in. I think you've got a great idea here, and I think it's not going to take off unless you invest everything.
Would you, if I made one, would you talk about it on Sword and Laser, and you'd be I love this because I forgot what I was up to in my Kindle. Fortunately, I bought one of Terps's bookmarks. His Kindle bookmarks. I probably can't call it a Kindle bookmark. Probably has to be an e-reader from Amazon. I can't even say Amazon bookmark.
An
e-reader bookmark for e-readers such as the Amazon Kindle and others.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be good.
All right.
And, you know, we could crochet them, use leather, do lots of different ones.
All your extra pounds, all your extra EUs or whatever you have over there for currency. Just throw that all in there. Euros, I guess they'd be called. But you don't have euros. Take all your pounds, spend it all there. I'm sure your fiance will have no problem at all.
Perfect.
All right. Well, sweet. Veronica, @Veronica. She doesn't need our help on Twitter, but she says amazing things there. You guys should follow her if you're not.
Or stupid things.
But they're all good things, and that's what matters most. Of course, here on the show, Tom and I can be found on Twitter as well. Tom's @AceDetect. I'm @ScottJohnson. Tom, anything you want to add to this before we get out of here? Anything going
Current on? Current Geek Show Packs, ladies and gentlemen. If you're like, how do I support this show besides the sponsors, you could do that.
Yeah, frogpants.com/store is where they can find those. And for everybody who's done that so far, thank you.
Huge thanks.
Hearts. Yeah.
This is what you get. We're sorry.
Yeah. But here's what you helped pay for.
You did this.
So Tom's got some other cool stuff coming too. So keep an eye on his Twitter feed @
Ace. Oh yeah. DailyTechNewsShow.com. If you want to know where I'm doing Daily Tech News, that's where I'm doing it for now.
Yep.
And are you honestly doing this whole sort of, is it really the 2400th or whatever episode? Is that
going
to be a continued thing?
Well, until I actually launch a real show, yeah.
Yeah, you need to do an item squish, definitely, on that. Because it's just like...
it is like the
I looked at it and I thought, is this some weird obscure tech reference they're going to make during the show?
Yeah, 2600.
Where it's like, you know, have you noticed how that logo looks like 2, 3, 4, 5? You know, but yeah, anyway.
There you go. Brilliant. Well, in the meantime, please support us. We have lots of stuff going on the Frog Pants Network. Frogpants.com is the place to check that out. Current Geek, at Current Geek on Twitter. At Current Geek, add it to Twitter. That'd be great. CurrentGeek@gmail.com for all your email inquiries, and CurrentGeek.com for everything else. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Tom, and our wonderful guests. See you guys next time.
Andrew Allen, ladies and gentlemen.
I forgot to thank Andrew Allen. There it is. Andrew Allen, everybody.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.